Anyway, it's good to be home. I spoke the night before I left in Vidy Angelus, and I was sharing that I said I was sad and happy at the same time. Sad to be leaving them, but happy to be returning to my dear wife and my church family here. And it was kind of mixed emotions then and mixed emotions now. And it takes a while of adjustment to get back into life in North America after a few months down south. Anyway, I want to share with you, first of all, about a little bit of background there on Team Workers and MSC. And I now wear kind of two hats with the missions organization. Okay, what's going on here? And MSC, which is the next slide, is we're running into some technical difficulties. Our projector isn't in sync with technology today, so we're running in a rather archaic fashion right now. MSC stands for Missionary Service Committee, and basically it's a brethren money laundering organization. I say that in a good sense because their primary focus is to funnel money into bank accounts for missionaries around the world in whatever currency they need it in. And so they set up the conduits. And so we at Island Bible Chapel use MSC quite extensively for a lot of our missionaries for funneling funds to them. And that's their primary function. They have a secondary mandate. I don't know why. MSC, by the way, is housed at 101 Amber Street in Markham, Ontario. And I fly down there about every 2 months for 4 days and work out of the office there. And then the rest of the time I work out of my home. And the next page is our mission, or go to the next page. This is our website, and it's you see the tagline on it is basically gives you a good description of what MSC is all about. It's local church-driven missions. It is not a missions organization. We basically work with local churches, and our desire is that the local church is the mission sending organization, not MSC. And so we work with local churches in that regard. We also, next page, there's a staff of both volunteers and paid staff. There are 5 paid staff and 5 of us who are volunteer staff. And my role I wear two hats. I'm the projects coordinator for Team Workers, which is a short-term missions organization under MSC, but I'm also in charge of all short-term missions for MSC. And so as that, I'm the short-term missions team coordinator for MSC Canada. And part of one of the things that I'm going to start introducing us at our chapel to is a magazine called Missions. And I think when I left, I had some copies sent through Marg here to be kind of circulated. I don't know if that happened or not. But anyway, I have a bunch of back copies out on the table, and you're welcome to take them and see what they're about. But basically, they're different articles, either reports on from missionaries or articles related to missions, hints and that kind of thing. And in fact, the newest copy, I've just put a copy of one of our missionaries, Brad and Katrine Dixon, have written an article on church planting in this magazine. And I've copied it and put it in each of your mailboxes because Brad and Katrine Dixon are one of our missionaries who we've supported for well over 30 years, since they've been on the mission field. And so this is an article by them in their new role as church planters in southern France. So I hope you'll enjoy that. And if you're interested in subscribing to Missions Magazine, give me a shout. We'll help you out. One of my roles at MSC has been to put together what are called MSC teams. And basically what we've done is we look at, again, local church-driven missions is what our goal is, but we're trying to give support and help to groups that, let's say a group wants to do a one-time, one-off. They want to go somewhere and do a missions, and we have developed support materials to help how to organize a mission trip. And we offer them free of charge, and we loan out training materials and that kind of thing. The other thing, local church initiated, like whether it's a youth group or a team going, like our first team went to France many years ago from our church kind of thing. And also we're bringing in existing teams who have been kind of out there on their own. And I'll tell you about one a little later that's coming under ours. But one of the things that I've been developing are written materials for putting teams together. And so we have a leader's handbook. We have a team member's handbook. I've done some research, and we bought some really good training materials on CD for it's called Go Prepared. And some of the best people in the world are part of these videos. Steve Saint, Bill Bright, the late Bill Bright, and just really good quality material. Anyway, under MSC, we have two kinds of teams. One used to be called TNT teams, but now they're called E-teams, and they're evangelistic. So if you're looking to go on a team, we have teams under MSC, and we have evangelistic teams that go to Ghana and Ireland right now are their two areas of focus. And so if anyone's interested in a short-term mission that's evangelist, strictly evangelism, that's a team for you. If you're looking at more practical support of missionaries through building and that kind of thing, then our team workers teams are the place to go. And this is the brochure that we had this past year, and you can see that we had a team in the fall in France. We've had we had a team in Puerto Rico this winter. We've had teams in Central America, Honduras and Nicaragua, and Mexico. We had a team in Uruguay, and right now we have two teams in Africa as we speak. One is a well drilling team, and the other is a solar electric team. Those teams are very, very specialized, and are usually full of experts in their field. Our goals are twofold. One is to assist missionaries and full-time Christian workers in their maintenance and building work, and by providing technical and practical support of them in their various countries. And also, on the other side, it's to encourage North Americans to take the opportunity to get involved in short-term missions through projects. And I'll tell you, it'll change your life. You'll never come back the same if you go on one. I have some scriptural motivations for being involved in short-term missions personally, and one is Galatians 6 and 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are the household of faith. And so we go and partner with churches and missionaries in third world countries and in other areas, and to come alongside in their projects. We're not there to do whole projects, but we're there to encourage our brothers and sisters in other cultures. The other thing is, when we go, part of our idea, our mandate is to preach the gospel. That's the Great Commission. And how do you do that when you don't speak Spanish? Well, we take tracts with us. And whenever we're on the street or have an opportunity, we hand tracts out. You don't have to be able to speak the language to give somebody a piece of paper that's in their language. And I'll tell you, in other countries, they're not like North America, believe me. They don't treat you like you're a two-headed freak by asking them if they'd like a tract. They actually thank you for it. And they read it. And and so God's word can be responded that way. There is another side of the gospel. The gospel is go into all the world and preach the gospel, of course, making disciples. But the other side of it, James talks about, and that's the practical side. What good is it to say, to a starving person or a destitute person, here, Jesus loves you, and then walk away and do nothing? And that's partly what we as team workers are seeking to do, to show Jesus' love through practical support. And it isn't replacing preaching the gospel. I'm not talking about the social gospel at all. But the gospel has to show in more than words that we care. Now, I just want to share the rest of the time on our trip to Central America this year. And of course, I base in two countries, Honduras and Nicaragua. Honduras is mi segundo país, my second country, and I guess I'd call Nicaragua my third country. I'm becoming more and more attached to it as well. And this goes back to 1999. In January of 1999, a small team of six left this area, and that team of six included Don and Jane Robert, Bob and Pat Lawrence, Jim Tulloch, and myself. And we responded to Hurricane Mitch that destroyed the country of Honduras. And we went in January, and three went for 2 weeks and three went for 4 weeks. And this is what our project that year was, building a house for a lady who lived in a remote valley whose house had been flattened in the hurricane. It was just mud bricks. And we had to walk 45 minutes each way to work. We had to walk down the hill from the camp, Bible camp we were staying at, through a Boy Scout camp, across a field, and down a valley and up a hill. And the building material took an hour and three quarters to get there because it had to go on a logging road around the back of the mountain. And every stick of material had to come in that way. We built this little house. Back in the background, you see that pile? That's their old mud bricks that were, you know, what was recovered from her destroyed house. That's Bob Lawrence on the left, Don Roberts on the right, and the two young lads are two Spanish kids. One was Luis and the other was Porfirio. I couldn't say Porfirio, so I called him Portfolio. So anyway, we built this house for this lady, and she goes to the chapel there, and she gives me a big hug every time we see her. We had 2 years ago, we had a prayer meeting in her house that we built. The whole church walked back, 45 minutes back, and we had prayer meeting one night at her house. This is the house we built. We built all out of blocks and wood that was, we found a lot of trees were down, and there were people sawing it up for lumber, so we actually bought it on the way, on the logging road. And during that time, I designed and started building a school at the camp. The church, which is now my home church in Honduras, had just been meeting for a few months before the hurricane, and here's us meeting in the Boy Scout camp. And Jim always has to be the center of attention, so he went and had a heart attack the first year so he could get some care. And so anyway, he was well cared for in the local hospital, and this is a missionary friend's three girls coming to visit him. One thing that happened before we knew we were coming was we were involved in sending cartons of food and clothing and medical supplies, and we also got involved in buying a water pump and a coil of polypipe because they needed to get fresh water or any kind of water out of the rivers and that kind of thing. Anyway, after the team had left, most of the team had left, Don and Jane and I were there, and three containers showed up from Canada. We opened the back door, and there is the coil of polypipe that my son Jeremy and I filled with hot water in our garage and rolled up into a smaller coil so we could get it in a van to take to Toronto. And all the boxes at the back are from Island Bible Chapel. I was blubbering like a baby. We went to, we did some food and clothing distribution in a city called Choluteca, and this city had been decimated. The top left corner, that's the top of a wall of a house, In the bottom left corner are some cardboard houses that people were reclaiming their land. Their houses were actually under the dirt. And on the bottom right, you see Pat in the middle and Jane on the left and Don Robert with the black hat passing out food and clothing to people on the beach, on the riverfront. Well, that was 1999, and we're still going. We've made a connection that has been so deep that we've had over 300 people now go on teams to Honduras. Our youth teams have gone 4 times, and my son's youth team has gone 3 times, and it's become a big part of Island Bible Chapel over the years. Well, the first thing we did was we had a team in Nicaragua from January 27th to 13th. I was there, and it was a new Bible camp. Last year, I showed you these pictures of just having gone and looked at this property that had been donated that in the mountains, had a nice clean stream going through it. When I came back this year, they had a bulldozer in, and they leveled a whole area where they're going to build a covered sports pad slash dining hall slash kitchen slash washroom. As one of their next stage buildings. So they've cleared a spot that they were using as a soccer field for now. While I was there, to help our team out coming the next day, we built a latrine. So that's it. I'm in the black plastic up at the top of that hill. When I arrived, this was the stage they were at. They had built the 4 walls of the future maintenance man's house, and they had started this building system, a new building system, and they had basically 1.5 walls of columns done every meter. And then our team showed up. Now everything is done by hand. It's an 80-foot long building. It was 2.5 feet out of level, so we had to. They leveled it as they built, and we leveled it by hand inside, moving all that dirt. So this is actually first day on the job with the team, and I had the fortune this year of having 3 young bulldozers, 3 farm boys from Southern Ontario, and I mean they were bulldozers. One kid, his parents own a pig farm with 5,000 pigs. Another one owns a turkey farm with 14,000 turkeys, and another one is a dairy farmer. And so these boys knew how to work, and the harder it was, the more they loved it. And so that's 2 of them, and the only girl on the team, she's kind of showing them up there, or trying to anyway. So this was the building system. It was like concrete columns and posts in the ground, and there were these attachment blocks that slid down over top. They had little webs on the ends, and the blocks were like 2 cement blocks with a V in the ends, and they matched the webs. And so it was all dry stacked. So it was an interesting building system, but a lot of heavy work. Each of those blocks weighed 65 pounds, and so it was a lot of work. It was a learning curve, too, for everybody. We had to build wire cages for columns and for the crown beam that goes around the top, and you can see the work progressing. And my two 18-year-old bulldozers have worked on construction for the last year, house framing, and so they loved anything that meant machines and making noise and cutting. And so they were cutting blocks for the angle, the sloping roof there. And we're just continuing. A guy from Manitoulin in the red, James Van Valkenburg, is drilling holes for insetting electrical boxes. And this is my third farm boy. Carl loves it best when he's carrying 2 5-gallon pails of cement. That's when he's the happiest. And so they were my bulldozers. And the guy below him is Lonnie Frolic from Sault Ste. Marie, from Frolic Roofing. This is where the wood here is being cut. Wood is hard to get there, and it's illegal to cut trees, so we had to scrounge and go back alleys to find wood to buy. And so we needed wood to frame out the form out for where the windows were going so we could pour the beam over top. The steel arrived. We got the roof on the maintenance man's house. And we had lots of fun. This is Carl, who's 6 foot six, and Danielle, who's a Honduran missionary, who's 5 foot six. And they decide to arm wrestle one coffee break. And so you see all the blocking that Danielle has under his arm. We decided we would make sandwiches for lunch because that would be faster. And we got to the job site, and we were working with a lot of Nicaraguans, and they had a whole crew of cooks who had come to volunteer. And they had a big hot meal. And James Van Valkenburg looks at our sandwich and looks at their lunch, and he says, "Why are we making sandwiches?" So that was the last day we made sandwiches. We ate with the Nikas the rest of the time. And nobody got sick. They really looked after us well. And the bottom left-hand corner is the full-time worker and Honduran missionary's wife. Her name is Olga, and that's their daughter. And this is their stove. You notice it's wood-fired in their kitchen. And that's their dining room, living room, in the green, the top right. And they fed us breakfast and supper every day and washed our clothes on a washboard for a whole team. They were very, very faithful servants. And that's Olga down on the right, and that's a steel rim barbecue, a truck rim barbecue one day at lunch. And then a friend from another place in Nicaragua with a red hat, and the gal with the purple shirt in the top left corner is Bonerjes and Sandra. They cooked a barbecue for us that the fellow who donated the land for the property owned a cattle ranch and invited us out for a barbecue and had Bonerjes is a good barbecuer, he and his wife, so they killed a couple of lambs, and that's what we had for celebration. There was some downtimes on Saturdays, and when we were at the barbecue, they had horses, and so we all got a horse ride, or you could lay in hammocks. In the evenings, we could just hang out and play board games. And one Saturday, we went to a brand new national park, and it was the only time I got to swim in Honduras or Nicaragua. It was a river that a gorge that had been recently discovered by other people than the local people. And so anyway, it was a great time. That was our R&R days. Nicaragua started in 2004 for us, and it was a church plant there, and I was asked to go there, and the bottom right-hand corner is the little house. You have to take off that double garage door on the right. It isn't part of that property. It ends at those three windows. But I was asked by the missionaries if I could redesign this little house into a church. It was 23 feet wide, and the buildings touched it, the adjacent buildings. So there was only one place to go, and that was up. So we had teams there for over the next 3 years, and we built the what you see on the left. They like bright colors, don't they? This church is really vibrant. This is my friend Bonerjes and Sandra above. I'm at their house that evening. I'd taken a three-hour bus ride on a chicken bus to visit this church that we had a close connection with, and spent their church service was Sunday evening, so I spent that there. The bottom picture is a couple of older ladies in the chapel there. That one is Doña Marta, and she's always asking about how Margaret's doing. And in the top right-hand corner, this church was a brand-new church plant when we started there, and it was mostly teenagers and young 20s. And here they are, the group of them now that were there Sunday evening. Most of them are married with kids. And if you take a look at the one on the far right with the guy holding the little kid and the girl in the pink next to me, they're praying about going to Kazakhstan as missionaries in this next year. And their name is Wendy and Davin, so you could pray for them. And they were, Wendy has an amazing testimony of a street girl who came to Christ. And This was the church that we call our church home in Nicaragua this year. It's in a place called Jalapa, a little sleepy town. We were asked to sing a song. We did. I had an opportunity to preach there a couple times. And we were meeting with friends of ours from Esteli who were there. And that's Israel and Flor Ramos. And we prayed for that little girl for a whole year. She was born at 1.5 pounds. Her mother had tried to have, they'd tried to have kids for 10 years and couldn't. And this is a miracle baby. And she's now a very healthy little girl, runs around and very active. Well, we had a connection with what happened. I told you that sometimes other groups will seek to come under our umbrella. This was a place called Stone Ridge Bible Chapel in Hamilton, and they had already bought their plane tickets, had been going to Nicaragua for a number of years, but they were getting very suspicious of the group they were working with, and things fell apart at the very last minute, and they were basically told not to set foot on these people's property. And so they called me and said, "We've already got our plane tickets. Can you help us?" So anyway, we brought them in and integrated them with our team. They'd come to do kids' work. And so what we did was we set up the mornings they would work with us on the project. In the afternoons, they ran a DVBS. And it worked out great because, and this is the Lord's timing in all this. It's amazing. The Lord's timing is perfect. He knew this was going to happen. Another young fellow from Nicaragua, a full-time worker, was coming that week and setting up to do child evangelism at the camp the next week. And so his goal was to get kids coming to this brand new camp and get him to know it through kids club. And so he worked with the Stone Ridge group in the afternoon. The first day they started at the chapel, which is about a half a mile from the camp. And then they told the kids, "Tomorrow, for the rest of the week, you come to the camp in the afternoon." And so it was God's timing was perfect. This young fellow had planned this for the following week, and he came to stay there for 2 months to do this, and the timing was perfect. So the Lord knew, that was falling apart, and he had a plan for Stone Ridge that they had no idea of. And it all worked out well, and that's the day they left. And then this on the right-hand side is the day the rest of our team, and you can see there are a lot of Nicaraguans there. Our host missionary, by the way, missionaries were the two guys on the left. Saul is the guy on the left. That's Olga's husband. And the next one to him is an American missionary named Tony Flett. He was raised in El Salvador, came home as a teenager during a revolution there, and became a building contractor in Seattle. And about 9 years ago, felt the Lord calling him back, sent all his construction equipment down on a container, drove his truck and trailer down, and now he's a church planter in southern in the Managua area. Well, we went from there to Honduras, and when we left, the four walls were up for this dorm. I never told you what the project was. It was an 80-foot dorm that we designed into four sections, and the roof is now on, and they're putting the plumbing in this week. And they're hoping to have their first camp as a family camp during Semana Santa, and that's Holy Week, Easter week. So things are moving along. We had three projects in Honduras, and I've got 8 minutes to share three projects. First one is the Santa Lucia Chapel. The second one is a house in Ciapa, and the third one was public school swings. Last year, I told you about us helping with purchase property for a new church plant from our home church in Honduras. They were planting a church in the next town, and our Island Bible Chapel youth group 5 years ago had helped build a portable building. Well, last year we tore the portable building down because we bought the property. The new property was right behind the old. We rebuilt some of the walls, and those brown siding sections are the walls that Island Bible Chapel Youth Group had built 5 years ago in another location. They were portable. We took them down. They became part of the walls of the new chapel building. They continued on. They added a roof at the end of the building, put some washrooms in, and made a covered area that they wanted to enclose for Sunday school, that kind of thing. And so they also wanted to move the door that we had put in, a temporary door we'd put in. And so we had Jim and Ernie Johnson did electrical work, and we had a crew move the door. We bought a new door to put on there. We also drywalled the interior, put a gable end on. We closed in that area using more of those wall sections that Island Bible Chapel Youth Group had built. That's the inside. Those blue sections are where we closed in an open area using those. And we drywalled the interior. And there's our little crew. We took half the crew there and half the crew left in Siop on the house project. And that was our last day there. We got it all trimmed out and the new door on and another section of paneling on. So it looked pretty nice. There's a crew in there this week for a Texas youth group who are painting it and working on the grounds. So it's continuing on. Our other project, and this was brand new, we were supposed to be working on Sunday school edition on Santa Lucia and possibly a daycare center in Nueva Siapa. What happened was, friends of ours who were the camp maintenance man and cook were kind of forced to move to Siapa to take over the cafeteria at the high school where Don David Dominguez really needed them, since he lost the people who were doing it. They'd moved away. And he needed somebody who he could trust and rely on to run it as a private enterprise. But the only house he had was uninhabitable. And it was 560 square feet. They have 4 teenage kids. And this was not going to work. They had one bathroom that didn't even have a sink in it. And the electrical, half it didn't work. It was just a mess. The floor was terrazzo tiles, but had never been laid properly. It had never been tamped before, and it was like a roller coaster, and they were all broken up, and you trip hazard all over the place. The floor changed position from, just like waves. It was terrible. Anyway, I designed an addition for it before I left for Nicaragua, because I went down a week early, and had them start, and I said, okay. All the interior partitions, by the way, were one-inch angle iron and a piece of stuff called paneling, and it was all falling out of it, and it was just a mess. So I said, get rid of all the interior partitions and get rid of the floor. I want it down to dirt when I get back, and get the walls built on the addition before I get back. And so 3 weeks later, I came back, and the floor, they were good on the partitions being gone and the floor out, but all they had for the block walls was a trench across the back. So we had a discussion, and 3 bricklayers were hired the next day. And we worked on the inside, they worked on the outside. There was a building that needed to be torn off the back, so my bulldozers, I said, guys, two of them, I said, I know you're not going to like this idea, but you know that bodega at the back that's falling apart? It's all block and it's broken up. And I said, I need that gone by noon hour. Floor, walls, roof, everything, out of here. They just thought I'd given them a new car. And they went in there with 2 sledgehammers and they just went nuts. And it was gone by noon hour. They both had damaged hands. One lost a fingernail, and the other had cuts all over his hand where he squashed it in the column. They were racing. They wanted to make sure they could show that they could do it by noon hour. Anyway, that's Rob Armstrong, formerly from Bruce Mines. He came down for a week, and this is the inside. And we brought in sand and leveled it all and tamped it. And then down the bottom right-hand corner, you see the floor being poured. That's on the top. Bottom left is Ernie and Rob Armstrong mixing cement. And they make up these wooden bins on sticks, and that's what they fill with. They know exactly how much sand and gravel to put in. They dump it in and dump the cement in, and they're off. And so we poured, you know, the floor was poured and with a colorant, a blue colorant, so that's their finished floor. And it was all these panels that were all cracked so you could see outside, so we got some polymer cement and patched it all. We used steel studs and drywall to frame the inside, and they worked on the outside on the blocks. Jim put in a new service, and we had to build, again, steel cages for the ring beams that tie all these things together. And this is our crew. There, you know, there was a Honduran crew and us. They were doing the work outside. We were doing the work inside. This is that is actually dust, that gray picture. That's one of my bulldozers. I said, I need this concrete panel cut out in the next half hour. And that's all I had to say. And he, I said, do you want a mask? No. Anyway, that's, and there, and I had two guys who knew how to tape and tape drywall, so that was great too. And this was near the end. Bottom left is getting the wiring done. The master bedroom area didn't have a roof on at that time, and the bathroom at the in there needed to be blocked. I went back on my way to the plane, took pictures. They were just finishing the block walls, and the roof was going on the Thursday when I was leaving. So hopefully in the next 2.5 weeks, they'll have the plumbing all connected, and they need to put 4 windows and a door in, and the family can then move in. Right now, they have to get up at 4 in the morning and drive 40 minutes into town, 45 minutes, and have their, they have to get, they have to be, their cafeteria has to be getting started at 6 a.m. because students start at 7. And they, you know, they serve breakfast. These kids come without a lot of food, so that kind of thing. This is our team in Honduras, the top left corner. And this is where we stayed at David Dominguez's, and this is a meal time. Bottom left is our home church in Honduras, and bottom right was an R&R day. We went to a replica of a Mayan temple at a park in the capital. And we went to a Pizza Hut one night to take out the two cooks, David's, Daisy and Elda. You can't see them for my head. They're right behind me and Jim. But they're there. Right-hand corner is the Sunday morning when Canada won the gold cup, or the gold medal at the Olympics. We were watching. Bottom left are my three crazy farm boys. They, anything for a risk is all they were after. So when we were driving the van, with they would climb up on the back and up on the roof and surf on the way to the work. It was only up a hill, but they had fun anyway. Bottom right, again, game time at night just for relaxing. And something very special happened this year. I had, a week ago, I said to at my home church down there at Baidangas, I said to the missionary, I said, you know, Jim has kind of made some noise that this might be his last year here, and I'm sure he'd like to get up and say a few words at the end. You think he could say 5 or 10 minutes and ask Jim come up and say a few words? Well, he said, oh, sure. He said, we can do that. Well, it turned into, the next week, turned into this huge party for Jim, a going-away party. And they had the breaking of bread at the chapel. Then they moved everything over to the camp where we had barbecued shish kebab with 4 kinds of meats, and Jim was in his glory. And but they had this big presentation, and they had made this beautiful plaque, which is a map of Honduras. And basically it says, with gratitude to Brother Jim Tulloch for your love and your love for Christ and us at Valle de Angeles in Santa Lucia. And then we got back to David Dominguez's, and not to be outdone, David made a slate plaque up for Jim as well from the ministerios down there that we work under. So it was well celebrated. And that's Jim saying a few words on the right. And that's the chapel. And just as an aside, our teams built a new roof on that chapel a couple of years ago. Bottom right-hand corner is the dining hall. 5 years ago, we built a new roof on that, and Jim wired the whole thing. Bottom left corner are 4 people from the first year. and Jim and I, and that's the young guy Luis in the black and red. And the guy with the cowboy hat comes faithfully, and there's a Stetson rack at the back that he puts his hat on every Sunday. And he can't read, but he knows every hymn in the book, and he gives out hymns every week. His name is Don Santos, and he's the maintenance man at the Boy Scout camp that we used to have to walk through. So that's our connection to the first year. Well, last thing was the school project that my son Brian started. This a gal that was on his team, her and her daughter, 2 years ago, came back and were appalled that none of the schools even had a swing set. So they raised money on Manitoulin at two schools called Pennies for Playgrounds in Honduras. They raised $3,000 and asked me if I would build swings down there. So I had nothing to do. So anyway, we built a swing set last year at one school, this year at another school, and this is just the work going on at that school. Interesting. You notice where it's located? Look at the name in the top left corner. Escuela Rural Mixta Israel Munoz, it looks like Canada's. It's really Cañadas. They have an extra letter in their alphabet. It's an N with a little squiggly above it. It's called an Enye, but it looks like Canada. So we built a school, a swing set at the Canada Valley. And so anyway, that's our trip this year. I won't go any further other than to say I thank you, first of all, for your prayers. Thank you for the 16 years of support and encouragement to keep going back and taking people. And I hope you will consider going on a short-term mission yourself if you've never been on one. And it comes in all forms. Brian says he likes to say that, you know, you can do a short-term mission locally at any Bible camp. That's a short-term mission too. You can your youth group can go, and right now the Bethel youth group is in Honduras as we speak, and you can go on an evangelistic e-team. You can go on a construction team. And missions has results long-term. Short-term missions have long-term results. The people with stars all came on our short-term teams. They're all in full-time work or missionaries now. And I've got to update this because there are three more now that have come with us to Honduras over the years who God has pulled into full-time service. And I believe that God has used that as part of it. And so for each of you, my challenge is we are all living stones that God is building into a spiritual temple. You know, perhaps he'll use you to be a building stone in the future. Take the opportunity. It says, as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto those who are the household of God. North Americans, we have the opportunity. Are we willing to be available? That's the question. We have the opportunity. It's priorities and willingness to be available. Tim Allen used to say, pray about it. And if God says no, we don't want you. But if God says no, but please pray about it. And just do it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your love for us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. Thank you for the good news. And thank you for the opportunities to serve you in other countries. Thank you for the safety you gave us this year on these teams. And thank you for the encouragement that the believers in these countries were to us. We thank you now, and thank you for Island Bible Chapel and their ongoing support for so many years, for both in youth teams and adult building teams going to Honduras and Nicaragua. Thank you for our connection there. And we ask your blessing upon each one now and pray that you would send us home with your blessing and your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.